All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, a CW-2 type Army helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969. I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio. This is our monthly benefits program, so we're anticipating your questions. If you do have one for us, you can give us a call right now, live on the air at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600, and we will make every effort to answer your question. As I mentioned, we are going to be talking about benefits. We're also going to be talking with a representative from our local VA and also with a representative, a couple of representatives from Legal Help for Veterans. Before I get in and start introducing everybody, I want to make sure that we thank our loyal sponsors, because without our sponsors, we just can't do this program. And that would start off with Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veterans disability claims. For more information, you can contact them at 800-693-4800 or go to legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, what they do is they certify veteran-owned businesses for working with the government and also working with corporations. If you are a veteran-owned business and you want to do business with these organizations, you got to get certified. So for more information, go to their website. That's nvbdc.com. The Eisenhower Center, I want you to check out their impact program that goes beyond awareness campaigns and state-of-the-art imaging to help veterans, first responders, and athletes. For more information on the Eisenhower Center, go to their website, eisenhowercenter.com. The U.S. Wings are manufacturers and distributors of the finest flight jackets in the world. They also manufacture and sell all kinds of military paraphernalia. You can go to uswings.com for more information. I also want to make sure that you stay tuned, because today is when we give away our monthly flight jacket. So stay tuned to find out who won this month's Top Gun flight jacket. The Charles S. Kettles. That's cool to say that, isn't it? The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We want to make sure that we give them a shout out. And also, to find out more about supporting Veterans Radio, you can just go to our website. That's veteransradio.net/our sponsors. And hopefully, you'll be more than happy to support us. This is what we have to do. We're getting the word out, folks, all across the country. We're really excited about what is happening here on Veterans Radio recently, and we're hoping to expand in the near future, but we can't do it without your help. So if you could do that, that would be great. As I mentioned, I've got a whole array of people in front of me now and on the phone. So I'm going to kind of go through the list here. I'm going to start off with Brian Hayes. Brian is the public relations director here at the Charles S. Kettles Medical Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Brian, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. It's good to be back with you.
It's kind of cool. I always forget to put the lieutenant colonel on there. But
it was great seeing you in person last night. It's funny, we haven't been able to do the show in a studio in what, almost a year and a half now. So you were standing there in front of me, and I almost didn't recognize you. I thought, oh, well, there you are. But it was nice that you were able to come to the ceremony, and it ended up being a great time for everybody.
It was very exciting, and to have the privilege of knowing Chuck. An actual Medal of Honor recipient, and to have him finally get the recognition that he deserves, I think that it was nice. And you guys did a really good show.
Oh, thanks.
It was really great to do that. I'm going to be coming back to Brian, but also on from Legal Help for Veterans, we've got retired Air Force General Carol Ann Falsone. Carol Ann is almost done with your certification for a veteran service officer, aren't you?
I'm already done. I am waiting for the word back from Office of General Counsel when I get that official paperwork. So it's all done. I'm just waiting for their stamp of approval.
All right. Well, she is one of our experts. Whether she's certified or not, she knows everything. And if she doesn't know it, our other guest, Michael Smith, does. And Michael is the Washtenaw County representative of the Veterans Service Office here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Dale. And it's always good to be on the air with you and General Fasson and all of the guests. Again, I bring you greetings from Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs and my staff and my county administrator and our board of commissioners. And we welcome all the guests, and I'm waiting for all the great questions that are going to come up today.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. Again, I'm going to remind everybody that number is 734-822-1600. This is your opportunity. You can't have a better group of experts here that could answer your question. And if they don't know the answer, they'll find it out for you. Also joining us on the line right now for the first time is a new representative from the Legal Help for Veterans family. And that is Deanne Simpson. And Deanne is an attorney who has joined the Legal Help for Veterans organization. And Deanne, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks for having me, Dale. I'm happy to be here today.
Well, I'm really excited to talk to you because, you know, you can't have enough legal help sometimes when you're trying to work with the system out there. You know, all of the emails and things that we do get is that always people get frustrated with the way that the system is set up. And to have another voice that can help our veterans out is awesome. I think I'm really excited about that. So how did you get involved with Legal Help?
Well, I recently joined Legal Help for Veterans as the practice partner for the VA Law Department. Prior to that, I've been representing veterans for about 14 years, almost exclusively since 2016. But I've had the pleasure and honor of helping veterans get their disability benefits through the VA.
Well, you know, we greatly appreciate all the work that you have done. And the reason that I wanted to talk to you today is that there was a report that came out on the Dingell VA hospital down in Detroit. And I wanted you to kind of go over that if you could. And then I want to tell our audience where they can find out where their veterans hospital stands.
Sure. The report came out this month, but it was a unannounced virtual healthcare inspection that took place last year in July 2020. And it was for the John Dingell VA Medical Center in Detroit. The VA had to do it virtual because of the COVID protocol, but they did come up with 5 recommendations, and none of them were considered significant recommendations, but 3 of them I think are pretty important and deal with women's health. The first one that they had recommended was that they make sure to follow up on exit review forms with their licensed independent practitioners when they depart the VA. The second one is to ensure that all of their employees are completing the suicide prevention refresher training. Of course, that's tantamount to serving veterans. And the last 3 had to do with women's health care, which the VA is putting a big focus on right now. So I was happy to see these recommendations. The first one is to make sure that the certain members who are required to take care of women's health care are assigned to the Women's Veterans Health Committee. The second one is to make sure that the Women Veterans Program Manager is full-time and only focuses on that, does not have any collateral duties. And the last one is regarding maternity care. They want to make sure that the VA Medical Center in Detroit has a designated maternity care coordinator.
I didn't even. This is how old-fashioned I guess I am. I never even thought about maternity care at the VA hospital. I think that's a great idea. Obviously,
it is. It is obviously, and the population of women veterans is growing by the year. And obviously, the VA's intention is to make sure that all veterans, regardless of their gender, are getting all the health care they need. They come up with a couple recommendations with respect to patient satisfaction. Unfortunately, the patient satisfaction was below the VHA average in Detroit. But the main focus there is just making sure that people are getting appointments within the time that they need them.
And, you know, since we do broadcast across the country, I think it's really important. How would we go about finding out if my VA is in the middle of Utah somewhere? How would I find out what the latest report shows for my VA?
Well, we can always check online at va.gov/OIG. You'll have to navigate it a little bit, but you're going to choose a drop-down menu for the VA Administration Staff Office and click on VA Health Administration, and then you're going to choose your type of report, which is the healthcare inspection, and you can peruse through all those reports for whichever VA medical center information you're looking for.
Okay. I think that's really interesting to me, is in how we can sort of, you know, we can research our VAs wherever we happen to be and can find out where their strengths are and maybe some things that need to be improved as well.
That, and absolutely. I think it's important for the patients to understand the type of facility where they're going for treatment. And there are patient feedback surveys that people receive regularly. And I think that is a really good way for veterans to communicate with the VA on possible areas of improvement.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio today. And again, welcome to Legal Help, and hopefully you're going to be one of our experts that we can contact periodically. So we've been talking with Deanne Bonner Simpson, who is the new Legal Help for Veterans lawyer here in Michigan. And you can go to their website, I know, and you can probably find out more information about her. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you. All right. Let's go right over to Brian Hayes here. He's the public relations officer here in the local, the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor. And Brian, tell us what's going on here.
Well, what a great segue, Dale, because, you know, we've been doing so much with women veterans now. You know, women make up about 9% of veterans now who are getting VA care. And so, you know, we really have to look at ways in order to provide health care for women and the various services that women need. So what we're doing this year, really on a national level at every VA medical center across the country, we're having town halls with women veterans. Ours is going to be in July. We'll be advertising that soon. You're the first to hear about it here. And we're also conducting focus groups exclusively with women veterans just to ask them questions about what they need in order to get the health care. You know, a lot of times when you think about VA, and it's been pretty traditional for the last 100 years or so, people think about VA as a man's hospital. And it's just not the case anymore. You know, we're providing, you know, like I said, maternity care, various women's health services. It's changing. And it's changing very, very quickly.
How is the VA hospital here locally and probably across the country reacting to the lifting of some of the restrictions as far as COVID?
Well, you know, we as a healthcare center, we're still operating under pandemic protocols, right? So, you know, in the medical center, we're still wearing masks. We're still screening. It's a healthcare setting. So we have to do things we have to keep things a little more strict. But when we're working outside, when we're, you know, out of the buildings, we're able to take our masks off. So things are lightening up a little bit. Well, we're still operating under a posture, that we were, you know, just a few months ago. We really haven't changed much because, you know, when you're in a hospital, there are sick people there and they can be susceptible to illness a lot more quickly than most of us can on the street.
Well, that's very true. I haven't been up there. I go up to the VA next Friday, so I haven't been up in a while.
You have to stop up in my office and say hi when you come up, Dale.
Where is your office?
Ninth floor.
Ninth? Oh, that's way up there. Okay. I never get that far.
There's some other great things going on at the VA as well. Mike, I see you talking, but your mic is off, I think. Your microphone is off. What were you saying? Were you just talking? Were you just saying something? All right. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I was telling Dale that he's got to go all the way around the other set of elevators and then up to the ninth floor.
Yeah. It says take the Liberty elevator up and say hi.
Exactly. Liberty.
Liberty.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Liberty building. We have three buildings. A lot of people don't realize we have three buildings that have sort of grown and merged together. But anyway, that's besides the point. There are some other really cool things that are going on at the VA. Now, you were just there last Friday for our renaming and dedication ceremony, naming the medical center. Finally, after 68 years, we got a name. We were just the Ann Arbor Medical Center for the longest time. And now we're the Lieutenant Colonel Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center. We're so proud to have his name associated with our medical center. We've already got his name on the monument signs around the building. So as you pull into the main entrance, you'll see his name on the sign there. And also in the emergency room entrance, his name is printed on the sign there. So, and then soon, once we get the construction done on the first floor, you'll see his name in giant. His name will be at the very beginning, you know, as you walk into the main foyer across the top of the building. So that's going to be really cool. But we also have some other stuff going on. You know, we're getting ready to open the Canton community-based outpatient clinic very soon. That's running on schedule. In fact, a little bit ahead of schedule. So we may be having a ribbon cutting for that as early as October and seeing patients there. So there are about 15,000 veterans that we can serve out of that location that live right in the Canton and Westland area, that can come right to that clinic and get their care without having to navigate traffic into Ann Arbor. Not only that, but we're also getting ready to open two more CBOCs this year. There's going to be two smaller CBOCs about the size of our Flint and Jackson clinics in Adrian, Michigan, and another one in Howell, Michigan. So those are being coming online very quickly because those are what's called as-builts, right? So we're moving into a building that's already there that was already a healthcare provider at one point or another. So some of the infrastructure is already there. So we're not building from the ground up, just like we did with Canton, which takes a lot longer. So we're able to get that done a lot quicker. So we may be looking at Adrian as early as September, and then Howell may happen in December. So we're going to be doing a lot of ribbon cuttings this year. And plus, we still have to do the dedication for the Fisher House. We weren't able to do that last year. So hopefully we're going to squeeze that in there sometime this fall too. So a lot of fun stuff going on. And of course, we've got some, probably in just a few months when you come in, you're going to be able to see the big Medal of Honor wall that's dedicated to Charles Kettles. That'll be right in the first floor as you walk toward primary care. And that's going to be very impressive. We actually have, thanks to Debbie Dingell, we actually have the presidential signed bill that named the hospital, the Kettles Hospital. It's in ink. It's in his signature. And we also have a lot of the actual award, his actual Medal of Honor citation. We have that signed in ink by President Obama. So it's going to be a pretty impressive display, and we can't wait for you all to see it when you come by.
Well, when we get all that stuff in there, we'll end up to do another program on, Colonel Kettles and talk about his, experience in receiving the Medal of Honor. I had the privilege of going to his house a number of times after he had received it, and it was great. All the pictures and everything else up there, and I forget who it was, but he had a letter on his wall in his house. The United States Army billed him for all the helicopters he went through on the day he was, you know, the action when he did.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Dale. And you know what? We were fortunate enough. The family donated that bill to us. We have that bill. I think it's in triplicate. It was $89,300,000 that he received the bill for. And we also have from 2016, after he received the Medal of Honor, we also have a letter in signature, in ink, from the Secretary of Defense at the time, releasing him from that obligation.
Right. I think that was very nice of them to do that. Michael, you have your hand up, I see. There you go.
Yeah. So, Brian, I do have a question, and sure. It may be real technical, and I hope you can help us out.
I'll try.
So Ann Arbor used to be was called the VA Medical Center.
It was just the hospital, basically. It was just part of the Ann Arbor Healthcare. So, yeah.
Right. And then the name was changed to the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. And I understood that there was a difference between a healthcare system and a medical center.
Right. So the medical center is the hospital, right? The healthcare system includes all of the clinics associated with the hospital. So when we talk about the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system, we're talking about Flint, Jackson, Toledo, soon to be Canton and Adrian and Howell. We also have clinics on Green Road, Green Road and Packard Road in Ann Arbor. So we're going to have, I wasn't counting, but I think that's eight locations of care.
Right. So I guess again, so Battle Creek was a medical center. Saginaw is a medical center. Iron Mountain is a medical center. Detroit is a medical center. Ann Arbor used to be a medical center, but then their name changed to a healthcare system.
That's correct.
Now, Detroit's got CBOCs and the others have CBOCs. So I thought my understanding was that the difference between a medical center and a healthcare system was research, type of care that was available or,
those are all part of it, right? And, you know, Dingell at the Detroit Medical Center, they do research there as well. So there are a lot of things, right? So this is very technical stuff, Dale. I'll take less than 30 seconds.
Right.
But this isn't going to be entertaining for your audience at all. But we talk about complexity of care, right? And that is, what does the hospital do? What does the healthcare system do to provide care to people, in our case, veterans? And that involves research, complexity of care. So are we doing heart surgeries? Are we doing neurosurgeries, brain surgeries? Do we have specific types of mental health care? All that kind of stuff elevates the level of complexity of care. So, for example, our healthcare system, because of its size, is a level 1B healthcare system versus a 1A. We fluctuate between 1A and 1B depending on the year because we're the lowest 1A and the highest 1B. You go to a healthcare system such as a Saginaw or a Battle Creek, much smaller, much, much less complexity of care as far as types of surgeries and research and things. So those would maybe be level 3s or level 2s, right? So that's why we're considered a healthcare system when we pull in all of the clinics and all of the stuff that we do. We have a huge research facility. And thanks for bringing that up, because we have right around 450 active research studies going on at any given time.
And so that was something that, you know, I guess I'm a stickler about names and designations and agencies and being called correctly. So going back to the Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettles VA Medical Center,
right?
You know, for me is a change in nomenclature to honor Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettles.
That's right.
But from the perspective of how the VA operates, now we're designating as a VA medical center again, as opposed to the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system.
Well, it's both, right? So the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center is part of the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system.
Ah, okay.
Got it.
We all clarified now.
Okay, great.
Michael, you know, we're on camera. Your audience can't tell that we're on camera. I'm not, because I look a mess right now. But I could see the light bulb go off in Michael's head. Yeah. The smoke, the gears were just going.
One of the advantages of Zoom sometimes is you actually can get to see people's reactions sometimes. Before I let you go, Brian, I wanted you to talk about June has been Post-Traumatic Stress Awareness Month. And we did a program last week all about post-traumatic stress. Our sponsors, Eisenhower Center, really deals a lot with post-traumatic stress, as of course the Charles S. Kettles
VA Medical Center.
VA Medical Center does the same. I wanted to talk just real quickly about the step up for Post-Traumatic Stress Awareness Month. And there's an activity that's actually supposed to go on today, but we've got until the 30th to complete it.
It's so, you can get online and register to take the pledge to, raise awareness for PTSD. And you can do that on the website, ptsd.va.gov. I'm so glad you brought that up today, Dale, because it is PTSD Awareness Month and we're getting ready to round it out. But a lot of people don't know that, you know, VA is the world's leading research and educational center for excellence in PTSD and traumatic stress. And also what a lot of people don't understand is that anybody can suffer from PTSD. It's not just a combat related mental health issue. It can come from a natural disaster. It can come from combat, of course, a car accident, a sexual assault. All these things can cause PTSD. And it's perfectly normal to have, you know, after a traumatic experience like that, it's perfectly normal to have upsetting memories or feel on edge or have trouble sleeping after that kind of an event. But when those symptoms go on for more than a few months, it's time to think about it being post-traumatic stress disorder and talk to your mental health professional about it and get some help. Because the good news is there are some really effective treatments for PTSD. So go to ptsd.va.gov.
Absolutely. And I would encourage people to go into our archives at veteransradio.net and type in PTSD in our search engine, and you're going to find out all the programs and a lot of different alternative programs that we have talked about over the years as far as seeking treatment for post-traumatic stress. So again, Brian, I want to thank you very much, Public Relations Director for the Ann Arbor Health System.
Hey, Brian.
Yes, ma'am.
Brian, before you get off, with all the other events coming up, if you could give us a heads up, it would be awesome, because I think for the Lieutenant Colonel Kettle's dedication, we might have missed a great opportunity. And I would like to give a shout out to Bob Gillette for Flag Day. He sponsored the most beautiful event. He had Congressional Medal of Honor recipient Jim McCullough at an American House in Sterling Heights, who gave the most wonderful presentation, a living Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, a presentation, and he sings. Yeah. And the presentation was phenomenal. It would have been awesome. And I know Jim goes almost anywhere to be present for that event. So
we actually, Carolyn, we had him scheduled to come and sing the national anthem, and but he had to go in for he had a health issue. I don't want to go into it for privacy. So he couldn't make it. But he was scheduled. We really were looking forward. So next time I'm hoping to have him over. He and his wife, the nicest people in the world, and he said, if you need anything, just let me know.
Yep. Cherie and him were spectacular. And so that's great. So they're in the area. And so any of the other events, Canton, that, you know, the listening audience could be present. So thank you for all the great work you're doing. I really appreciate it. And thank the director and all of you in Ann Arbor.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Dale.
In regard to our audience, we have talked to many, many Medal of Honor recipients, and we had the privilege of talking to Lieutenant Colonel Kettles and Don Hill on the same program. So if you go and go to veteransradio.net and type in, just put Kettles in there, and you'll see. And also, you know, Jim sang at Charlie's funeral. So it was, the guy's got an amazing voice.
The presentation was fabulous.
Yeah. Just, and just like all the other Medal of Honor recipients, we've had the privilege of talking to probably one of the most humble people you've ever want to meet.
And absolutely.
All of them just try to live up to the standards of being a Medal of Honor recipient. And all of them are honoring all the people that helped them on that day to, you know, to survive, or, you know, whatever their story is. It's never about them. It's always about their troops and the people that they worked with. All right. We're coming up on a break right now. When we come back, we are going to start talking a little bit more about disability benefits, which is as we know here on Veterans Radio, these are separate entities. And so we're asking you to give us a call here on Veterans Radio. The number is 734-822-1600. You got the question. We got the experts. Now's your chance. We'll be right back after this short break.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Sergeant First Class Stanley Adams led a 13-man charge against a North Korean force of 150. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Adams' platoon, holding an outpost some 200 yards ahead of his company, came under a determined attack by an estimated 250 enemy troops. Intense small arms, machine gun, and mortar fire from three sides pressed the platoon back against the main line of resistance. Observing approximately 150 hostile troops silhouetted against the skyline advancing against his platoon, Adams leaped to his feet, urged his men to fix bayonets, and with 13 members of his platoon charged the hostile force. Within 50 yards of the enemy, Adams was knocked to the ground when pierced in the leg by an enemy bullet. He jumped to his feet and, ignoring his wound, continued on to close with the enemy when he was knocked down four times from the concussion of grenades which had bounced off his body. Shouting orders, he charged the enemy positions and engaged them in hand-to-hand combat, where man after man fell before his terrific onslaught with bayonet and rifle butt. After nearly an hour of vicious action, Adams and his comrades routed the fanatical foe, killing over 50 and forcing the remainder to withdraw. Upon receiving orders that his battalion was moving back, he provided cover fire while his men withdrew. Adams so inspired his comrades that the enemy attack was completely thwarted, saving his battalion from possible disaster.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
We're back here on Veterans Radio, and just a reminder for those of you that were listening to the Medal of Honor segment there is that the Korean War began on June 25th, 1950. So it's the anniversary of the beginning of the war, and that's why we chose to honor a Korean War veteran's Medal of Honor. So we're talking disability now. 734-822-1600. We've got Michael Smith with us, Carol Ann Falzone. To answer any questions, we got one letter this week, which was a little bit confusing to me. So I'm going to ask Michael if he can figure it out. I didn't have a clue as to exactly what he was mentioning. He was a little frustrated with the system, I think.
Well, the person who wrote suggested that the VA is hiding information about appeals, and that there have been failures on the VA's part to respond to Freedom of Information Act requests about what's going on with hearings. I'm not real certain about what this person is talking about, because none of the 145 county veteran service officers that I know here in the state of Michigan, or any of my counterparts in the veteran service organizations down in Detroit, are having any problems with the Board of Veteran Appeals and hearings, whether it be video conferencing or traveling board, which they did suspend during COVID. But nonetheless, if people need to get information about where the status of their appeal is, and their appeal is at the Board of Veteran Appeals, they do have a hotline. And that's 1-800-923-8387. Again, that's 800-923-8387. Now, I've called that line several times on my own appeals that are at the Board of Veteran Appeals, and I've talked to VA employees that have been very helpful. They verify that I'm an accredited representative by looking me up on the Office of General Counsel's website, and they saw, oh yeah, Smith, you're accredited with the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, or with the VFW, or the Disabled American Veterans, or Disabled American Veterans. And if their appeal is at the BVA, those employees could share information with me about the status. Recently, a BVA employee by the name of Lori let me know that one of my cases that I faxed there was assigned to the docket, had been assigned to a BVA law judge, had already gone through the administrative review, and was waiting basically for the BVA law judge to make a decision. So I'm not real certain about that. But I do know one thing. He did mention about the VA always instructing people to contact their 1-800 or their toll-free number to get information about anything, including appeals. Well, when you call that 1-800 number, those VA employees do not have access to the two software packages that the VA uses to track and process appeals, which is called VACLES and CaseLoad. So I can understand a veteran's frustration being told to contact the toll-free number about information about the appeal instead of being given this BVA hotline number. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they contact the toll-free number, which is 800-827-1000, right? And those VA employees will go, well, they're processing your appeal. They don't really give them information because they don't have access to the systems that tell them real-time information about the appeal. because that's not being processed in the Veterans Benefits Management System.
Oh, he's frozen. VMS,
this is where all other claims, two instances, in one case.
Okay. So with beautiful, wonderful technology here, is we've got Michael's frozen up there a little bit.
And going through that number is not good.
Okay. Well, we were just going to tell him that because you froze up for a second.
Sorry.
My question was going to be on my Healthy Vet. If you go to that, it has a section there where I can follow my claims. Is that going to be more up to date than, I mean, is that going to give me the information? I should have looked at it today, but, it's not going to give me any more. Everybody's shaking their heads. So I'm guessing this is not going to work.
What it's going to do, Dale, is link you to e-benefits, which again, yeah. All those platforms have been just collapsed into va.gov.
Right.
So no, they're not going to give you any more information.
No.
Okay.
No.
For those of you that are listening, I would say that's an emphatic no. It's not going to help us out there. I guess the follow-up question, and Carolina, we can go to you on this one, is that how do I track my claim?
Well, and I think Michael illustrated
your claim or your claim or your appeal, Dale.
Well, let's go to yes. All right. We made our claim; it got denied. So now I'm appealing. How do I go about finding out the answer to that?
Well, obviously, this individual's appeal, he has an appeal in. He's just trying to find out where it's at. And I think Michael was explaining very eloquently that he needs to get to the right person to explain where it's at. It's probably docketed someplace. It hasn't been reviewed yet. And, you know, the timing and the period that you have to go through. And so you just need somebody to say, yep, it's there at the board. It's in the process. We just haven't reviewed it yet. I mean, I think that's what the reassurance somebody sometimes needs to hear, you know, that you followed through. But you need someone like a Veterans County Counselor, like a Legal Help for Veterans, a Veteran Service Officer, to literally go through the process when you're putting in an appeal. If that's your question, Dale, I wouldn't try to be doing it by yourself.
No, I know.
Let's also talk about when you say, how do I get information about my appeal? Now that becomes tricky because of the types of appeals that exist right now. The Appeals Modernization Act, the AMA, put into place three new appellate lanes. Those appellate lanes are direct appeal to the BVA, the higher level review, which can include an informal conference, and then the supplemental claim lane. So there's three different appellate lanes right now that exist under the AMA. Then there's the traditional ones or the legacy appeals that working down. Those are those old 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 year old cases. Okay, those are called the legacy claims. So those are all BVA, but now the BVA has a new set of incoming claims under the Appeals Modernization Act, which is that direct appeal to the BVA. So now those claims are being processed separate from those legacy claims so that they can keep tabs on both. Anything that goes to the BVA, the access to that information is only going to be in vehicles,
right,
or in caseload. And the only people that have access to vehicles and caseload are not all service officers. So check that out. Not only are certain VA employees not given access to caseload and vehicles, not all service officers. I just got access to it about a year ago.
Right.
But not all service officers in Michigan have it.
Right.
So that's another problem. So this access to information at the BVA is problematic. Now, if it's supplemental claim lane or it's higher level review, those other two new claims, those other two appellate lanes under the AMA.
He'll come back. Come back.
Uh-oh, he froze again.
can you follow up on that, Carol Ann?
The process is extremely complicated now with the three lanes. And so a veteran could get easily frustrated. And I think you need to talk to an experienced person that knows what lane your claim is in and how it's going to be handled. Because Michael's correct. Michael is accredited. He has been out there, and certain levels could go after things. So I think you need to know which lane your claim is in, but a veteran can't do that on his or own accord. So I think veterans need to reach out and go to their individual and see if we could alleviate some of your frustration. But it is going to be a little frustrating. I could hear it in this veteran's letter. But Michael dissected it extremely well. Not all VA employees, they're not trying to be rude. They're not trying to withhold information. They just don't have access to all that information. They don't have access to all the systems. There's only a higher level that could get into vehicles. I would say, ask the questions, go back in, call the numbers, and, reach out to a Michael Smith, reach out to Legal Help for Veterans. We'll try to help you get the answers to your questions, but don't give up.
Right. I think this whole segment really is really important. And what you just said and what Michael was talking about is that you can't give up, but really don't try to do it on your own. You know, as much as we think that we can, don't. You're talking technology, you're talking different kinds of programs, you're talking about different access, different people have different access to different programs, and it can get confusing. And I'm sure that the letter writer is very frustrated. And I can, we can all relate to this. Those of us who have ever appealed, a decision, it does get frustrating because sometimes they get back to you right away. And then sometimes you never hear another word, it seems like, for a year or more.
Can I interject a professional kind of information, but at the same time, I really want to give credit to the VA. I called the BVA hotline on one of my BVA cases, and a BVA employee by the name of Travis said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, I can't give you any information about this case because you don't represent this veteran." I said, "Oh, I absolutely represent this veteran." And he said, "Well, I don't see your accreditation on the VA Office of General Counsel's website." I said, "What are you talking about?" And I thought, this VA, a lot of times VA employees, I thought, don't know how to navigate their own website. So I went to the VA Office of General Counsel's website while I'm on the phone with Travis. And sure enough, none, Dale, General Fassall, none of my accreditations were listed. My name was not listed. So I contacted my National Service Director from my main accrediting agency, and he contacted the VA Office of General Counsel, and they said, "Oh, we deleted Mr. Smith's accreditation back in November." And he said, because he was not recertified. And when my National Service Director said we recertified them, they came back and said, "Oh my goodness, we deleted the wrong Michael Smith."
Michael Smith.
No surprise there, really.
They reinstated me within about 24 hours. All of my accreditations were back on their website. I was able to call the BVA website back or BVA hotline back and talk to another employee and get the information I needed. But had it not been for Travis,
at the BVA hotline telling me, hey, Mr. Smith, you ain't in there.
Well, you know what, Michael, if, as a follow on, we get the letters on the 2122A. So I had a nice young lady who I've gotten to know, and she called me the other day from St. Louis. And so she says, Mickey, she says, oh, General Fasson, you're not on the 2122A. I said, I most certainly am. She said, I can't believe you're not. I said, yes, I am. So she goes back in. She goes, oh my God, you are. She said, one of the employees said, you're not. We couldn't give you any information. She said, yes, you are. She says, I'm glad you are so tenacious. So she said, I'm going to give you all the information to follow up on your veteran. So, you know, sometimes if they're not, and it was one of these new cases with, you know, the three lanes, as you were just explaining. And you know what? They are very gracious. Some of the places are so good. They're trying to understand all these lanes too, you know, the supplemental, the increased rating lanes. And if they, oh my God, oh, I can't believe we kicked it back. A DROC, you know, where it's a legacy or an AMA. And I said, if I read this wrong, but I think you ruled wrong. And they're like, please, we'll send it back and we'll rule on it right away. So we've gotten some of the quickest decisions by just telling them, please reevaluate this. I think you looked at this in the wrong lane. This is not a legacy, or it was a legacy. So, you know, there has to be some give and take. So I agree. I loved your example, Michael.
You know, the VA is not a monolith. And that's one thing I want people to understand, is that it's made up of human beings that are veterans themselves. A great majority of the VA staff are veterans, or they're married to veterans, or their family members are veterans, or they just got into public service because they have a passion to serve veterans. So they're not here, you know, every day waking up and saying, you know what, I wonder how I can mess over a veteran today. They just don't think that way. It's just they have a system, and they have, you know, they have people that have access to information and other people that don't have access to information. And it's not a monolith. It's an organization like all others, made up of human beings who are kind and compassionate and caring, and they're only operating with the information that they have access. And what the VA requires is somebody who knows how to navigate,
yes,
to the right person who can give them the right information in real time. Because what frustrates most people is, and what makes them think that it is a monolith, is that they call a number and they get the wrong person, or the right person, but who has limited information.
Yes.
And then they continue to call around, and then they think, you know, that this is a stereotypical bureaucracy, and no one cares, and it's frustrating, and it's difficult, but it's not. It's difficult for people who know how to navigate the system.
Right. And I think one of the things that we all have to remember, as you just pointed out, is we have to be empathetic with the VA employee as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if the two of you, if my two experts are saying how complicated the system is, and they've both been working in the field for a number of years, I can't imagine, you know, somebody at the VA, not, you know, who is, you know, learning. Let's put it that way, because it seems like it's an ever learning process.
Well, it is.
There, because they keep changing programs, mm-hmm, of, you know, how to get there. And I think that, you know, we all know that, as I say, you know, a little bit of sugar works a lot better than, you know, vinegar or anything along those lines. And so we just have to be a little bit patient. And I know that's hard, for some veterans to maintain that patience there, but I think that you'll find that we can get things done, or you can get things done, by being patient. And of course, always, always go to the professionals. Let them fight the system. They understand a little bit more about it than you or I do. And I think that you'll find it to your benefit, you know, that you'll get whichever you're entitled to, because everybody in the system there and outside of the VA itself, all these VOAs and so forth, are out for you to help you. You know, you all paid the price, and in some cases now you're suffering for paying that price, and you are entitled to whatever benefits that the VA determines you're entitled to. So be a little patient if you can.
You know, Dale, you know, VA, like I said, the VA is made up of employees that are human beings, and human beings make mistakes, just like the VA employee who deleted all of my accreditations because I was the wrong Michael Smith, or the VA employee who didn't input General Frasson's accreditation so that she could have access to her claim or her appeal. You know, people make mistakes, but here's what I learned early in this business. People make mistakes, but mistakes have resolutions. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can identify and implement a resolution, and getting to that resolution is better than fighting the VA. And you're right. As you mentioned earlier, if you want to call it using honey as opposed to vinegar to get where you want to go, that's a good metaphor. But human beings are human beings.
Yeah.
We like to eat. We like pie, right? We like to go out for lunch. We like to be asked about our families. And, you know, and VA employees are like that. And I've really had great success with them, whether it's been electronically, through email, or face-to-face, down at the regional office in Detroit, or out at the VA, the Lieutenant Colonel
Charles F. Kettles,
VA Medical Center, definitely there, and all over the.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it's you know, just a lesson, and you know, we all came up with, you know, is being polite to people is going to get more done than if you start, you know, harassing them or yelling at them, or anything along those lines. And so again, we encourage our listeners to utilize veteran service officers or legal help for veteran type organizations that are out there. They're all professionals. They're out there to help you. So be careful. Be careful. Don't drive yourself crazy. You know, get somebody else to do it for you and let them go crazy.
You know what, Dale? Just in the remaining minutes, you mentioned the beginning of the program. This is PTSD month, and my heart goes out, I think all of us do, to the families and the souls that are suffering down in Florida with the tower collapse. And I just want to extend our prayers to those families for the loss in Florida.
Absolutely. And again, that's a traumatic event that's going to affect those people, their families, for the rest of their lives. And I just, you know, again, we remind people that it's not just veterans, as Brian pointed out. And there are many organizations out there that are designed to help you. And even if, you know, as a civilian, you can go to the VA's website. There's all kinds of information on there that can help you or direct you and you know, to find some sort of relief for whatever the event was that occurred in your life. I think it's, you know, I'm sorry that people didn't necessarily jump on it and find out, you know, that we can answer your benefit questions. But we want to remind you that this is what we're here for once a month. We'll be back here at the end of July, the same crew, to answer any questions that you might have. So if you're getting frustrated with the system, here's a great opportunity for you to vent a little bit and also maybe find out an answer, because not everybody knows everything. But I think that we're pretty privileged right here on Veterans Radio to have the two experts that we have that can help you out. And so I encourage you to do that. I know that we're running up against the end of the hour here. I'm not sure exactly how much time we have left. How are we doing, Eric? I'm down to 2 minutes. Oh, all right. So thank you. All right. I have to announce the check. Well, first of all, I want to thank General Faustone and Michael Smith, the real Michael Smith, for being on the program today. And we'll be in touch, obviously, and we hope to have you back at the end of July.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Okay. Got to announce the announcement.
Have a great 4th of July.
Everybody out there, celebrate the reason that we're here. This is, our democracy, it's an idea. It's not a person. It just keeps going and going and going. And we massage it, we beat it up, and we come back to it every other once in a while. I wanted to announce
real quick before you make an announcement, for caveat to General Fasson's announcement about PTSD Month. Remember, Washtenaw County Department of Veteran Affairs, we are a community access point or a CAP for the Dearborn Vet Center. So we have PTSD counseling available through Washtenaw County Department of Veteran Affairs. They still are doing it through telehealth right now. But if you are one of our residents and you would like readjustment counseling through the Dearborn Vet Center, we have our memorandum of understanding with them, and we can facilitate that and get you coordinated with a veterans readjustment counselor for PTSD counseling. And they're also available for your family members.
Okay. Thank you, Michael, very much. All right. The winner of the U.S. Wings flight jacket, the Top Gun Maverick jacket this month is Ralph Staunton. Ralph is from Lawrenceville, Georgia. Army aviator, class 71-3, and a member of the 134th Assault Helicopter Company in Vietnam. So, Ralph, we will be in touch with you to get the sizes and everything. We remind everybody to go to veteransradio.net, click on the jacket, and register to win. We're going to be giving one away for the remainder of the year. Every month, we'll give away another jacket. We want to thank Sergeant David Hack at U.S. Wings for providing that jacket to our listeners. It's great. U.S. Wings. Great bunch of people down in Hudson, Ohio to help you out. The other thing is that I want to remind everybody, next week, as I said, we're going to be doing a special program celebrating the 4th of July. We're going to kind of go into the room of where they wrote it. So until next week, this is Dale Thronberry with Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.